This is a big night for basketball, the NBA draft, which is usually in June. I have no idea when sports are happening anymore. I didn't realize how much of my life was scheduled around them. Today was the NBA draft. I don't know if you know, tomorrow's the Olympics, and the Super Bowl is the fourth night of Hanukkah, I think.
Yeah, I feel that way, too. I don't really follow sports anymore, but the NBA season just ended. They had the draft yesterday, and then the season starts again in like a couple days. So there you go. What are you going to do?
Ignore it.
The NBA is
dead to me.
The NBA is dead to you.
Yes. Football is ailing seriously. I still like baseball and golf.
Oh, boy. $100.
Beach volleyball? Still a heterosexual male.
I'm looking at, me too, but that ain't going to make me watch volleyball.
Oh, it's exciting. Are you kidding? The digs, the sets, the spikes.
Warrior Foundation Freedom Station, we got a $50 donation from Trump 2020. I'm not going to say that one either. $10 donation from Mrs. Merkin McChindo. That was for you, Michael.
Finally, thank you. Appreciate that.
Wow, thank you, ma'am. Thanks for your donation.
$250 from Bob Barker's pre-staged obit. That's when we unceremoniously killed him off before his time.
Well, we revived him.
And then finally, $100 from All Lives Matter, every single one.
Wow.
Well, if you could be canceled by people, they would cancel that donation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. The outrage is growing over Gavin Newsom's dinner at the French Laundry. I don't, and it's a nationwide thing. For people who he's not even your governor, people are outraged. That's because you've got public officials telling you what to do. And the idea that some of them, if not a lot of them, are violating these rules in their own personal lives is...
Newsom out Cuomo'd Cuomo.
Yeah.
Although Cuomo's got a book out explaining how all the dead people aren't his fault in the middle of the pandemic. So that's pretty impressive.
We'll talk more about that later. The growing anger. I think people are just angry in general at the whole situation, and you got to put it on something or somebody. The election's over, so where's all that anger going now? Hey, Gavin, you earned it. It's all coming your way. It's absolutely fantastic.
Well done, sir.
The Hill is out with an interesting article today about the new marshmallow media and the way they're treating Joe Biden. This is historic. But it's not getting much attention, well, because the media is not going to report on the media that much. And, you know, we got all this other stuff going on. Thanksgiving, pandemic getting worse, all that. But I'll read a little of this. Choreographed, hospitable, risk-averse. If you're looking for words to describe the average Joe Biden press conference, there's your top three. Exhibit A was on display Monday afternoon during a rare press conference with the president-elect that included questions that can't even be called softball. They're more like T-ball when you're putting a beach ball up on a tee. The most disturbing part was what has become a theme at Biden press conferences, which is to have a staffer choose which reporters ask questions as opposed to Biden randomly calling on them instead. Think about that for a moment, it says in The Hill. The next leader of the free world needs a staffer to call on a predetermined list of reporters who the campaign apparently feels won't press their guy too hard. Any press conference Biden has held since capturing the Democratic nomination has consisted mostly of questions about President Trump and very few questions about his own worldview, record, policy stances, or perspective on important issues such as trade, foreign affairs, gun control, immigration, education, taxation, all the stuff that's listed on people's main concerns.
Well, I happen to be listening to this thing live, and the questions that were about policy were, and obviously I'm paraphrasing it, but they were like this.
I'm going to read them here. He's got them here.
Ahead.
He's
go
got
ahead.
All the
yeah.
examples.
Beautiful.
Of the 12 questions Biden received Monday, there were zero follow-ups. Imagine that, a press conference with an incoming president, his first press conference, not a single follow-up. Zero interruptions. Fox has been doing a good job of providing video to show you this was Trump's first press conference. This was Trump's most recent press conference. He can't get three words in without, you know, an interruption or a follow-up or whatever. And I'm fine with that. The press should really be hard on candidates, but none of that with Biden. Zero questions about any of the issues which we just listed above, which rank as the top concerns. Here we go. Here's the exchanges. Reporter one, question one, and you only get one question. Good to see you. You spoke about the need to access the outgoing administration's COVID vaccine distribution plans. What do you see as the biggest threat to your transition, given Trump's unprecedented attempt to obstruct? Question number two. Thank you, Mr. President. You just spoke about some of the dangers of the president's continued stonewalling of this transition, but it doesn't appear he's going to come around anytime soon. What options do you have to get ready to go on day one? Next question. What's your message to Republicans who are backing the president's refusal to concede? Next question. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I want to kind of piggyback off of that. I want to get your thoughts on the president's tweet over the weekend where he seemed to acknowledge you won, but then he backed off that. Do you want him to concede? You get the idea. Trump will be the center of the media universe for the foreseeable future. For Biden, it's the easiest question to receive. Trump said this. Trump tweeted that. How do you respond? Kamala Harris, by the way, has not had a single press conference. This is unprecedented in modern history. Has not had a single press conference since she was named his running mate at all. Before the election, since the election, not at all. You could ask Joe Biden. I mean, you don't like, it doesn't need to be Hunter Biden stuff, even though if it were Trump, you'd go there. But just you, according to your own plans, it's going to cost X trillion dollars, according to nonpartisan groups. Which ones are you going to prioritize since there's not enough money to do all these
there
things?
There wasn't anything within 100 miles
of that. Perfectly reasonable. That's not a partisan question at all.
Now, this might sound like a quibble with the article. It's not, because, again, having listened to it live, it was striking. Every single question was addressed to, thank you, Mr. President-elect.
Oh, yeah, good point.
They all used exactly the same verbiage. I mean, exactly.
Obviously to drive home the point that we believe you're the president-elect, even if the president doesn't say so.
And
ooh,
it was obviously...
what a dig!
It was so obviously orchestrated.
This is dangerous, people.
Yeah, it is.
This is dangerous. We're going to overreact. The mainstream media is going to overreact the other direction. It's the classic always fighting the last war thing. And that's, it's not good. That is not good. And like I said, the example I gave, that's not a partisan gotcha sort of digging into your son's ties to China sort of question. How about the report just came out that from our own Defense Department that China's goal is to rule the world? How do you plan to counter that?
In the past, you've said they're not a rival. How do you feel now? No, nothing within 100 miles of that. They were teeing him up to make pro-Biden speeches. It was obvious. I mean, I like that T-ball analogy.
Polls show
softball's way harder than what he just did.
Polls show about half of Americans are willing to get the coronavirus vaccine. How are we going to handle that as a country? What's your plan? Perfectly legit question.
Mm-hmm.
But everything is Trump tweeted this. He's mean, isn't he? Your idea is mean.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's just embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for those people. You got into journalism to do that.
Those people did, yeah.
To try to crawl over each other to be one of the selected six that, you know, they can count on you to not challenge him in any way,
mm-hmm.
or ask him a question he's not prepared for. That's why you went to journalism school and rose through the ranks to get to CBS or Washington Post or whatever.
Lick those boots. Yeah, yeah. Also disappointing, there's almost always a rise in break-ins during the holiday. A word from our friends at Simply Safe Home Security. They're having a huge holiday sale, 35% off any Simply Safe system and a free security camera.
People will be breaking into your house to get your toilet paper.
Yikes.
Huh?
Go to simplysafe.com/Armstrong.
So how good is Simply Safe? Well, U.S. News and World Report called it the best home security of 2020. CNET Editor's Choice for home security, it was named the best of 2020 by Forbes and Popular Mechanics. Lots of people consider this the best.
And nobody's going to show up and demand $300 to drill a bunch of holes in your house. You can install it yourself. It's easy. It takes about half an hour. And then there are no long-term contracts. It's everything good and none of the bad of traditional security systems.
So this is what you got to do. You get to get the 35% off Simply Safe plus the free security camera today by going to simplysafe.com/Armstrong. Type that into your little browser thing. simplysafe.com/Armstrong to get this amazing deal, which expires tomorrow. SimplySafe.com/Armstrong.
Keep your hands off my toilet paper.
Oh, I forgot. One of the other obvious examples for the Biden press conference, since it was on Monday, was the rioting over the weekend. And people were saying, blank Biden, that's you. How do you respond to those people?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not ask that?
The left wing of your party is militant and violent. Will you condemn them? There was that video that came out that was 39 different times Trump disavowed white supremacists. Biden's not even asked. Well, generally speaking, in a political system, either that system adapts and overcomes and changes, or it falls apart. So one of those two things will happen.
Got his text. Dear Governor of California, I appreciate your apology for your mistake regarding a gathering. My family will be making the same mistake November 26th.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Well, that's what
we're all human. We all fall short sometimes.
That's a good point.
Well, that's what that New York Times guy said. You caused a whole bunch of people who might have followed some of the guidelines to say F it. That's absolutely true. Nice leadership.
Right. And or you made it clear that, listen, if you're of average intelligence, design your own guidelines to protect yourself and the people you love and your neighbors.
He needs
to go.
Go ahead.
You figure it out. Gavin Newsom is not going to figure it out for you.
He needs to be recalled. It needs to be a message to him and politicians all across the country. You have to at least pretend to go along with your restrictions. You can't go this far. The whole, I didn't know there'd be that many people. Why are you going to the French Laundry to meet medical lobbyists at all? At all. I don't care if you're standing 50 feet away and you're in a bubble.
Right.
Why are you doing that?
No unnecessary travel. Don't see Granny. But lobbyists and legislators are getting together in Maui and partying, exchanging bribes. That's okay.
People are trying to sell me toilet paper. I got enough, I think. I think I'm pretty good for toilet paper. But I was
watch your diet.
I was I was caught unaware that the rush was back on for these things. My wife's got an entire year's supply of toilet paper if you need any.
Excellent.
I think I'm okay.
Excellent.
How
I would
do you know
just
what a year's supply is? Do you keep track of your? Do you have like a ledger?
Going through too much this month. We need to reel it in.
What do you use, Excel for that or what?
Good news, everybody. We're ahead this year. So
I would just suggest no fiber at all until this thing is over. Now, when the dam does break loose, it's going to be a day to remember.
Yeah. Is there an app where I can keep track of my plies that I use per week? Our text line is
the accounting. It would be unpleasant. One, two, please. Terrible.
Your app says, reminder, rolls downhill. Text line 415-295-KFTC. Donate to Warrior Foundation Freedom Station at armstrongandgetty.com.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Just reading this, we love the Vin Scully, L.A. Dodgers announcer clip about Venezuela. And who's the richest person in Venezuela?
Hugo Chavez's daughter. Anyway.
0-2. Look at this story out of Reuters about Venezuela. This is where socialism gets you. Desperate for fuel, Venezuelans are stealing crude oil and making their own gas. That's incredible.
That seems like a bad idea.
Well,
is there a video for
0-2.
Anyway, 0-2. Is there a what show?
I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, you'd go on the internet and try to figure it out because your country is so blanked up because of socialism. You just got to start from scratch.
Biggest oil reserves on Earth, right? Or close to it? Yeah.
Yeah, but any place to be out of gas.
They all ought to be, you know, driving solid gold cars that run on champagne, and they're having to refine their own gasoline.
As Tim the Lawyer. Yeah, exactly. They've got enough oil. They could have, they could be like Dubai or one of those places.
How are they so broke?
With the glittering skyscrapers and all that sort of stuff. Tim Sandifer tweeted, the workers making their own gasoline seems like real socialism to me.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Oh, that reminds me. And it's a similar thing also from Tim. He retweeted something. There's a story on CBS News the other day. Thousands of cars lined up for hours in Dallas over the weekend, stretching as far as the eye can see for free food. And you can see, I mean, I'm looking at these cars. There's a brand new looking Super Crew cab pickup that's got to be $50,000. I'm seeing all sorts of $40,000, $50,000 SUVs in this line as we line up burning gas in expensive cars for free food in America.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on there?
I don't know. I heard a great thing the other day about the economy. Do we have time for that now? I don't know. But it was it was about, that's pretty long. I don't want to,
I mentioned supply and demand.
Long and short of it was how opulent our lifestyles are compared to, you know, decades past. And there's so much there's mythology of the 50s and this idea that, you know, you could come out of high school and you could get a great job at, you know, GM or wherever it was, IBM, and make a living and raise a family and everything like that. But the lifestyle of the 50s was so much less than now.
Oh, yeah.
You can come out of high school and get a job and live the lifestyle of the 50s. A house with no AC, one car that mom and dad share. You don't fly ever. When I was a kid, nobody...
Well, and your house is 1,200 square feet.
Oh, yeah, the house, a third the size you live in now. When I was a kid, nobody flew anywhere ever. You drove on your vacation to a very modest, and you stayed in a regular hotel. So you can have that. You can have the economy of the 50s. You can come straight out of high school and get that. Mm. So people want today's lifestyle easily.
Right.
Which is, everybody's got a couple of cars, big cars, giant house, fly fancy places, vacation, all this sort of stuff, and it's just not doable.
This is great. This fits in so well. It was a post to like a counseling website. My roommate has around $45,000 of student loans and has no intention or ability to pay them when his payment comes due on January 1st. What's going to happen? He has no job, hasn't had any income since pre-COVID. His mother has been paying his rent for the past 6 months. He has maybe $200. His plan is to trade options to make a living. He also didn't graduate and was getting a film degree, so no high-paying job prospects await him. Also around $2,000 in credit card debt and that start collecting interest in May 2021. I've been begging for him to try to get a job for a while, but he's convinced jobs are for idiots who don't know how to trade options. He's lost $3,600 trading options, all of which was student loan money. And the headline is,
jobs are for idiots who don't know how to do what I'm doing poorly.
Right. These are the student loans you're going to pay back. Film school dropouts who refuse to get jobs. At least to some extent.
That's hilarious. We got to check in on Warrior Foundation Freedom Station. We just crossed a big number, and we got to see if there are any whales around. Donate during the commercials. We'll have a good total when we come back at ArmstrongandGetty.com.
Yar, there are always whales about.
Gonna trade options.
Yeah.
Jobs are for idiots that don't know how to trade options.
Exactly.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Now, some of you are getting saucy, and I appreciate it. I'm amused, but some of the fake names we're donating under are too saucy to mention on the air.
Okay, everybody, come on now. A little decorum.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, amuses me.
Go to ArmstrongandGetty.com. Give as generously as you can to the wonderful Warrior Foundation Freedom Station.
$25 from Can You See My Privates? Can you?
Mm.
I like that. That's absolutely hilarious. My son did that once, coming out of the bathtub when he was like 5 years old, dancing around the. We were still eating dinner, so he came dancing around the dinner table, shaking it. Can you see my privates? Can you?
Clearly, yes is the answer. Oh boy!
Oh my God! But we should do a total. Gladys, how about a drum roll? Let's see where we are before we get to some of the hilarious people that donated. Gladys, you okay?
Gladys.
Oh, boy, I thought she'd...
Well, the cannons in World War I really affected her hearing.
406,436 American dollars.
To support our heroes, our wounded, our hurt warriors, post-traumatic stress, the rest of it, and a four-star charity. No waste, no heavy advertising costs, not for this organization.
Well, I do think we're going to hit 500 grand. Which was our goal, but certainly blowing past that is a fantastic option.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've raised significantly more in the past. We just didn't know what to make the goal in the pandemic and the weird economy and everything like that.
Right, right. The more we raise, the more we can help more guys.
I mean, even Jack's Goats contributed $100. Not to be outdone in the Jack farm, Gecky the Gecko also with a $15 donation.
Nice. Which is, you know, given the fact that he weighs like a gram. That's a fair amount of money.
Who else is coming through, Sean?
We got, well, this one's not funny, but just a dad of two Marines dropping in $100.
Oh, that's
love
great.
It.
Way to go, guys. Gals. Awesome.
Michelangelo's cuddle party with $25.
Oh, yes.
Oh boy.
So we had the woman in who was, she'd opened up a cuddle clinic or store or something.
Exactly.
You could stop by.
That was the trend at the time.
You could stop by and pay to have a rando cuddle with you.
Yeah.
Human
that was
contact,
very weird.
Jack. It's very important.
Human contact. And she came in to show how it works, and I wasn't going to do it. Did you do it?
No.
Michelangelo actually laid on the floor and she cuddled with her. And she was an attractive woman. I mean, not that it's not a sexual thing.
No, absolutely right. Not. You got to sign a lot of forms.
That place has to be closed, right? Like the fifth pervo dude who came up, you know, rubbing up against her. She had to say, apparently this idea is not going to work.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to UPS.
People are violating the spirit of my business.
Yes. Right.
Very good. So let me see if you guys remember this. Somebody's Making Money donated $250. You guys remember that?
The hole in the wall. Remember this?
No. But that hole in the sky where the tree once was, somebody's making money.
Awesome.
There's a hole in the sky where the tree once was, somebody's making money. There's a hole in the sky.
Yeah. All right. That's nice.
We got Don't Portland My Oregon contributing $25. We got.
Oh, that's good. I love that. Don't Portland My Oregon. I love that.
A nut flush for Sean. Now, that is a poker terminology, meaning the strongest flush that you can possibly have on a given. Yeah.
You're its full ambulance ride, man.
No, that's not that wasn't what you did after the cuddle party.
Oh, boy.
I like this one because we have one donator calling out another one. We have Harvard Fong, who wonders if Harvard Goldhammer is a real person, contributing about $100 there. Jack's Undigested Truck.
Yeah, well.
And we got Living That Bidet Life, $50.
Oh, yes. I recommend it highly.
The bidet lifestyle.
Yes. Speaking of flushes of various sorts. This is, so go donate at armstrongandgetty.com, whether it's $10 or $10,000.
Couple of whales, a supporter with $1,000, but then Baby Yoda in for a grand.
Nice.
$1,000.
I probably teleported it out of a bank or something. But we'll take it.
A Bureau of Bovine Body Shaming donating $10.
What the what?
Don't know what
that is. There's
too
many bureaus.
Yes. I remember, we were talking about body shaming among cows the other day. I can't remember why. Hey, this is astonishing. Well, it's not astonishing. It's every parent is going to say, Joe, it's not even mildly surprising. This is from a large suburban school district. Fair amount of diversity, reasonably affluent area. District-wide, in the fall of last year, 4.3% of kids had a GPA below 1.0. Okay. Percentage kids below 1.0?
What's a 1? Is that an F or a D?
It's a D, I guess. Yeah.
So you're below a D, okay.
It was 4.3% of the kids. Fall this year, it's 14.4%. From 4.3 to 14.4. Fall of 19, kids with a GPA below 2.0 was 14.4%, coincidentally. It has doubled virtually. This year, it's almost 28% of the kids have a GPA below 2.0.
So you add those together, and you get what?
42%.
That are below 2?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. And the person who furnished me this information straight out of the school board meeting.
2 out of 5 kids are below a 2.
Says effing teachers unions don't give a whit about the kids.
That's very clearly true. Very clearly true.
Unbelievable.
That's the sort of question that would have been great for Joe Biden the other day. There are growing studies that show being in school, in person in school, is safe. And, you know, you can back that up with New York Times and Washington Post stuff, not Trump stuff.
Sure.
But you've assigned a bunch of people to your COVID response team that are hardcore shut down the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on this? But no, they didn't ask him anything about that.
Right.
As far as that, the learning at the school, that is not the least bit surprising to anybody who's got kids in school. And everybody I've talked to is struggling. But everybody I've talked to are people more or less like us, where you've got the resources, whether it's the Wi-Fi or the computers or the separate room or the parent that can be with them or whatever, and it's still really hard. You got the household where you don't have Wi-Fi or it's not very good or you don't have a computer and there's no place you can get away from the chaos.
Single parent who works.
You don't have a chance.
Right. I suppose it's ultimately good.
So, hey, lefty teachers unions, you're punishing the least advantaged.
Well, that's what the New York Times and the WAPO and the corporate lefty media are waking up to. They finally care about children because it's poor and minority children. Now, our message from the beginning has been all children are suffering, some more than others. Wake up. Let's handle this better. But now that it's, you know, the trendy looking out for minority kids, which is good, they ought to be looked out for, they're finally waking up to the truth. So better late than never, media. Unbelievable, though. Ooh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
And it's, well, you know how it is with kids stuff. It's when something's making your kid's life worse, it's not an issue like taxes are too high or why don't they get the potholes fixed? I mean, there's plenty of things that bother you, mm-hmm. and they're an injustice. But stuff that, you know, is affecting your kids' lives, it's something you can't not think about all the time.
Right. And then your verbally abusive, hypocritical governor has a fancy dinner or blames the kids. In the case of Andrew Cuomo, we've got some just fabulous clips to play for you in a moment or two.
Oh, yeah, we should get to those when you get back. If you haven't heard it, it's just the greatest. Donate to Warrior Foundation Freedom Station at armstrongandgetty.com. We got some good plans for tomorrow. We're going to pull out all the stops, whatever that means.
Some of those stops should probably remain in, too.
We're pulling them. You're going to hear some, there aren't enough duets written for trombone and violin, but we're going to play some of those.
Mm.
We're going to have Sean talk about video games until we reach a certain goal. That always works pretty well.
I'm dreading that.
There are new items in the League of Legends game I play. I can't wait to go deep onto those.
You don't get to start now.
Remember when we used to have Dominic sing show tunes? The late, great Dominic Brasha.
Yes.
I used to sing show tunes.
Gone but not forgotten.
I remember that made me donate.
Oh, yeah.
I actually donated while he was singing. That was horrifying. Jeez,
I'd have donated a kidney to stop that.
Do we have audio of that? Could we bring that back? He's dead.
He can't sue us. Well, it's got
to
exist somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We own it anyway.
He's a fairly litigious person, though.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, unless he's found a lawyer and, beyond the grave. Wherever he is, and I have a feeling I know.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I'm pitching my new show, Ghost Lawyer, to Netflix.
Let's not speak ill of the departed.
Ghost Lawyer.
Oh, jeez.
Go to armstrongandgetty.com.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
If you socially distanced and you wore a mask and you were smart, none of this would be a problem. It's all self-imposed. It's all self-imposed. If you didn't eat the cheesecake, you wouldn't have a weight problem.
Was it self-imposed when Andrew Cuomo made the decision that put so many people locked down in nursing homes? That wasn't self-imposed. It comes from government. And in the same way that this decision about the school system in New York comes from government. It's not something that's self-imposed. Those kids didn't eat the cheesecake.
So what were you calling the two governors on opposite ends of the country?
I'm searching for the exact, the perfect term, but we're bookended by a pair of utterly hypocritical, condescending boneheads. Cuomo on the one side of the country and Gavin Newsomini on the other. Cuomo's astonishingly hypocritical and he's just belligerent. How did he get elected? God, he's a horrible human being.
So whatever happens, it's your fault, just like the reason you're fat is you ate the cheesecake. Okay. On the other end, you got Gavin Newsom's growing scandal of eating at one of the fanciest restaurants in the world with a bunch of people from different households with no masks, more or less indoors, at the same time that he's telling you you can't do that with your loved ones for Thanksgiving. That story is getting lots of national attention, which I'm happy to see, including on your lefty networks that are calling it, among other things, outrageous and stupid.
Well, it's not outrageous and stupid. He explained himself. It seemed perfectly reasonable to me.
We're all human. We all fall short sometimes.
Plus, as I recall, it was an early dinner, wasn't it? I mean,
And we had an early dinner, but didn't matter. I shouldn't have been there. I should have turned back around. And so when that happens, you got to you pay the price, but you also own the mistake and you don't ever make it again.
Even the Sacramento Bee, which loves Gavin Newsom, talked about his layers of bad judgment in that dinner. Yeah, well, that's why I support the recall effort, absolutely, because I think he's crossed some sort of line. You got to, when people go this far, you got to spank them.
Oh yeah,
and say there is a limit. We all know. Yeah, eat with lobbyists, and the rules don't apply to you the way they do. We all know that, but there is a limit. All right.
When you have so much hubris, you just do it out in the open.
Yeah, and the fact that you would even consider showing up there before you even got there and found out how many people were there and whatever BS excuse you're using, the fact that you would even go shows incredibly bad judgment, or just, you know, it's just a you don't need to care. Mm-hmm. You don't feel like you need to care.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's also a terrible leader, so that factors in, but we've got the link to the recall effort. If you're a Cal Unicornian, God bless you. ArmstrongandGetty.com.
Gotta love the pictures that came out. Photographs do a lot of damage, as we've all learned through the years. Pictures and videos.
Oh,
you can read about stuff and hear about stuff, but pictures and videos really go a long way. And the pictures that came out yesterday, where you see them standing outside, nobody's wearing a mask outside, and then inside with no mask, people are angry. People need some place to put that anger post-election, and they're going to put it on Gavin Newsom, and I'm all for it.
This is very one-sided. He's trying to explain himself. Give me 56. Come on.
And you have my word on that. And just know this has not been a practice I've indulged in the past. I take it very seriously about what we are promoting and have been doing so for many, many months. And I expect you should expect nothing less of me. And I expect more from myself.
Bullshit.
Good for you.
I think he contradicted the spirit of the measures there. That's the way I see it.
The spirit of what I'm preaching all the time was contradicted, and I got to own that. And so I want to apologize to you because I need to preach and practice, not just preach and not practice.
I need to actually do what I say you should do. I mean, it's kind of funny if you think about it. What's that chuckle in there?
He's just saying.
I'm just saying.
Damn.
And then this is Senator Tom McClintock, who we had on the show earlier this week, actually on the, I believe, the floor of the House this morning.
Mr. Speaker, I rise this morning in defense of Governor Gavin Newsom, who recently defied his own idiotic COVID edicts as he partied at one of the few restaurants that's not yet been forced out of business. I defend him because he was doing what we once all did in a free society, make our own decisions over what risks we're willing to run and what precautions we're willing to take according to our own circumstances to protect our own health.
So,
amen to that.
I understand how comedy routines work. So he workshopped it on our show yesterday. He got laughs out of us. And then he takes it to the big club, the
praise,
official record of the statements of Congress.
Filming it for his special there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
well, his own idiotic guidelines.
That's so perfect. Yeah, exercise your own judgment. Be smart. Don't put others at risk.
So
you don't need a half-wit governor with highlights to tell you how to live your life.
So there was some speculation that the lobbyist might have leaked out the pictures on their own, because it's good news if you're a lobbyist and it turns out you dine with the governor on your birthday. It makes you more powerful and richer. But they have actually done interviews with the woman who took the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And she was annoyed because you don't get to eat at the French Laundry every day. Most people never do. And it's a really big deal. And if there's a really loud, giant party going on next door, that would be maddening. I've waited for years and saved my pennies forever to get to do this, and this giant, loud party's going on. So they complained to the waiter, and the waiter went and closed the doors, but she thought she recognized Gavin Newsom, asked the waitress. The waitress said, yeah, that's Gavin Newsom. And I thought, oh, my God.
Right, right.
No masks and all the crap that you've been telling us, and took the pictures.
Yeah. A 25-year-old Omaha area sports bar waitress has been fired for taking a video clip of the Nebraska Republican governor, he and others maskless, at a party for some election victory. Let's see, this woman, what's her name? Karina Montanez is heard on the video saying, mocking him from across the room. He couldn't hear her. Where's your mask, Pete? What are you doing, Pete? We're in a pandemic, Pete. And she put the video out.
She got fired?
And she got fired. Of course, now you know what's going to happen. Somebody will start a GoFundMe page and she'll get rich.
Well,
Something.
There's got to be some legal recourse for that. Because that's some sort of, I don't know, whistleblower or journalism or something. There's got to be some protections for that. Isn't there?
Free speech or something? I don't know.
Well, but you can't be videoing, verbally abusing, then releasing videos of your business's customers.
Verbally abusing? He didn't hear what I said.
Well, no, it's a private enterprise. If they don't want people who do that working there, they fire her. She is a single mom, of course, who has fibromyalgia, and she's seeking help. So,
yeah, we need to know that, though. We need to know if governors who are making us live a certain way are at a restaurant behaving a different way. We need to know that.
Oh, I agree completely. Yeah, I'm glad she did it. I have a very strong feeling she will emerge fine from this, as the people will say, no, you don't deserve to be punished for this. You need to be rewarded. That'll happen.
A lot of single moms are waitresses at sports bars in my experience for some reason. I don't know why that is. But.
That's a good living.
Mm.
You get to watch sports out of the corner of your eye. That's probably it.
You're surrounded by the smell of mozzarella sticks.
The delicious aroma of mozzarella sticks.
What a fantastic way to spend
the
day.
Do they have those at the French Laundry? Mozzarella sticks for... Hey, we need an appetizer. Garçon!
You guys got an appetizer tower? Like onion rings?
Can we get some mozzarella sticks?
Yes, they're $400 per stick.
Well, it doesn't matter because the lobbyists are paying.
Now, Gavin Newsom
does... Medical Association lobbyists.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez.
The irony police have just laid down their batons. Yeah. There's too much work.
A lot of your real reporters are saying you got to focus on who he was dining with. That's the outrage. It's everybody else like me, you know, us dunces, who are just mad that he wasn't wearing a mask. But who he was with is a statement, too. And he mentions several times in his apology, I paid for my own meal, because that would be a huge violation if somebody else was picking up the tab of his meal.
Oh, okay. Right,
but
fine.
Big deal.
Is it really?
Big deal.
Somebody can't buy the governor dinner?
No, they just promise him a seat on the board as soon as he's out of office.
Yeah, they do things much worse than the dinner would be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'll make many, many multiples more than the dinner cost off these guys.
Armstrong and Getty.